Alistair Brownlee is one of the top triathletes in the world. Representing Great Britain, he won the gold medal at the Olympic Games both this past year and 4 years ago, the very first person to win it 2 years in a row. But triathlon might be a rather obscure sport, but many of us managed to see the video of his finish in Mexico at the World Series because of what happened to his brother. His brother Johnny was leading, far ahead of the rest of the pack. Seemed like he would cruise to an easy first place in that race and be the winner of the overall series. But all of a sudden, he begins to stumble, and his brother, who had been vying with somebody else for second or third place, instead of taking this opportunity to win yet again, pushed his brother across the finish line, and they became second and third. And this made worldwide news because of this act of fraternal love, this bond that was expressed that one would sacrifice his win for another. But I think it can also be instructive as to why St. Paul likes to use races as an image for the spiritual life, as an image for the life with God. In many other sports, there's a score. So you can say, well, I did well enough. In basketball, be 3 points off, not bad. But in running, or in triathlon, if you don't cross the finish line, you don't get a score. And Johnny may have been in the lead the whole way, but it would have counted for nothing if he didn't make it across the finish line. St. Paul, writing to Timothy near the end of his life, talks about he's run the race and he's finished well. And there's a certain confidence that we can have having run in the spiritual life, having grown ever closer to God, that our habits, that our direction, that we're pointed in this way towards God, that we're getting closer and closer and closer. But however close we get, whether we're 50 feet from the finish line or 10, we can't stop until we get there. It's a lifelong journey, closer and closer to God. One where we get many second chances, many times where we've turned off the path and are able to turn back on again, but we can never stop. Christ tells us of two men praying before the temple. One who thought that victory was in the bag, the Pharisee. He thought he was good. You saw the arrogance of his prayer, listing off all of the things that he did, none of which are actually really that spectacular. It's, I kept the law, did the minimum thing. And he raises his eyes up to God and looks with scorn upon this other man, this tax collector who has spent years probably cheating people, building up his own coffers, worrying about material things and not holy things. Yet, somehow in that moment, the tax collector knows the truth. He knows what he needs. He knows that he needs God's mercy, his love, his forgiveness. Only God can make him holy. Only God. And so he turns to the Lord, shielding his face even, and says, O God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Much like Johnny Brownlee, 50 feet away from that victory, 50 feet away, collapsing, he realizes that the only way that he can get this done is with help, with someone else, with God. The path towards heaven, the path towards eternal life with God, is only made possible by God's love for us. We are ever in need of mercy. In fact, the way that we tell that we're in good spiritual condition, that we're closing in on a victory, is how much more we're aware of that need for God in our life. How much more we're aware of the ways that we fall short, of the things that we were overlooking before come to our forefront, come to our attention. A few days ago, we had a non-Catholic visitor at our dinner at St. Dominic's Priory where I lived, and she asked, well, what is it that priests have to confess? Why do they go? They must not have serious sins. And the only response that I could give her was that the more that you live together and the more that you spend time near God, the more things you have to confess, the more you have to go before the Lord. Our getting close to God is that lifelong process of growing slowly and slowly more in perfection and realizing that we don't make ourselves good to please God, but that God's love for us, that God and His infinite mercy are what transform us, are what make us good. And so we come to understand that the holy prayer is the one that Christ tells us here, O God, be merciful to me, a sinner.